Lord Jesus, I love you. You've delivered me out of so many trials, and you preserve me, and you show up every time with your presence every day. Lord, I thank you, and I pray that you would do the same to anyone listening. Please bless this message, Jesus. Please, you and only you. Let your name be lifted up, not anyone else, Lord, but you. You, Jesus Christ. I beg you, Lord, to open up the eyes of anyone who's listening to see you clearer and to experience your presence. In your name, I pray, amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. If you're interested in subscribing to these podcasts, audio booths, you can go to the iTunes search query and just type in Michael Ryan's Michael Ryan's booths, and you should be able to find me there if you're interested. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, Jesus, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Friends, I'm going to cut right to the chase here. Your life is not about your possessions. It's not about your accomplishments. It's not about the school you go to. It's not about the degree you have or the degree you get. It's not about how much money you have or your financial situation. It's not about the relationship that you have that's working or that's broken or that you're waiting for it to come to pass. It's not about your house, the car you drive, the clothes you wear, how many friends you have, how many people like you, how you look. It's not about your circumstances. It's about being rich towards God. You see, friends, in the end, that's all that will matter. In the end, that's what will stand as the foundation, as your foundation for eternal life. There's going to be a day, and I know because it says in Scripture, in Romans 2, that people's mouths are going to be wide open. Do you understand what I mean by wide open? It's going to be in shock because they're going to realize that this whole Jesus, eternal life, heaven, is real. It's real. It's realer than they thought it ever was. And they're going to start to see that their life on earth was just temporary, and life is now just beginning after they died. And there's only two destinations, heaven forever or torment in hell forever. And they're going to run to Jesus and say, "Lord, Lord." This is what he says in Matthew 7. They'll come to me and say, "Lord, Lord," but I will say, "I never knew you." Friends, there are a lot of people who are going to be in that category. And then Jesus continues in Matthew 7 and says, "And they'll say to me, 'I cast out demons in your name. I did miracles in your name.' And Jesus will say, 'Get away from me, you workers of evil. I never knew you.'" Friends, let me tell you something. There are people who haven't even cast out any demons, who haven't done any miracles. They may be there saying, "Hey, you know, Lord Jesus, I've done pretty good in my life. I've only hurt one person. You know, I haven't committed any real serious crimes. I haven't really said anything bad." I mean, if he says to those people to get away from them, the workers of evil, how much more will he say it to someone else who wasn't even doing any of those things? The point is that I don't want you to end up that way. Here's what life is about. Jesus is telling us right through this parable. It's not about your circumstances. It's not about that. It can't be about that. It must be about one thing and one thing only. Your richness towards Jesus Christ, God. That's what matters. That's what matters. And he goes on, Jesus, in his parable to describe a circumstance that's abundant, that's beautiful, that's prosperous. A man that has more than he needs. And how many of us here have sat down and said, oh, I wish I had that. I wish I had this. That we could have all that we need. He goes on to explain how this man had just a deception working in him. He was creating this false safety net for himself. He had this false sense of security because he had all these things, all these good things around him. But he was lacking in the most important thing, the only thing that mattered. And guess what? He died. He died. But let me tell you something. Your circumstances don't matter, not only if they're good, not only if they're abundant, but even if they're bad. Even if you're broken, even if your relationships are broken, even if you're sad and you're alone, even if you don't have any money, even if you don't have a job, if you don't look the way you want to look, if you're struggling with this and that, troubled, grown up in an affliction and abuse, even if your circumstances are horrible, it's still not about your circumstances. Life is still not about your troubles. It's not about your accomplishments, and it's not about your weaknesses. It's about richness towards Jesus Christ. The sooner you understand that, the sooner you'll really begin to live. The sooner you'll begin to experience abundant life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth. And guess what else he said? I am the life. You may be saying, well, okay, well, what does it mean to be rich towards God? What does it mean? Because I'm saying to you right now, your accomplishments don't matter. Going to church doesn't matter. Your reading of the Bible doesn't matter. You're talking to friends about spiritual things. That's not what's mattering. It's not you listening to Christian music. It's not you being a good person and not hurting anybody. It's got to be devotion to Jesus Christ. It's got to be richness of Jesus Christ. And there it is right there, friends. That's what it means to be rich towards God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus Christ. You see, if Jesus Christ is missing, it's empty. It's empty. He is life. He is the life. He's not just a kind of life that someone can have. He's just not someone's own interpretation of spiritual things. He's not just someone's own opinion. He is the life. He really is. And he's got to be summed up in all things. It says in Ephesians 1:10 that the summing up of all things will be in Jesus Christ. You're praying. You're Bible reading. You're going to church. The things that you do, your accomplishments, your good and your bad, your good circumstances and your bad circumstances. Jesus Christ must be at the center. That's what matters. That and only that. And you begin to live. You will begin to live. You know, it's really easy. It's really easy to think that you're okay. It really is easy to think that I'm a good person, that my life is working out pretty well. Think that things are just going fine. But then we find out that really we're not rich towards God. That life actually doesn't, we don't have any. You know, Jesus talks about this in Revelation chapter 3 when he's talking to his church and he's saying to people, he's like, you know, you guys think you're rich, but you're poor, you're naked. You're in poverty. Are you like that? Are you like that? Jesus Christ gets all the glory, and that's how you have a rich that's a life towards that a life that's rich towards Jesus Christ. And guess what? It should be that way. He died for you. the creator of the universe who gets all the glory, do you know that right now in heaven, as I speak, angels that are more powerful than you and I could even imagine, are on their face crying, praising God. Seraphim, cherubim, angels. This same God, with all his majesty and his glory, came and visited us, humankind, in the flesh. And he was born in a palace? In a mansion? No, he was born in a barn. Born in a barn. Couldn't even live in the hometown where he was born because they were trying to go and kill him. They were trying to kill babies. He walked among the earth. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was spit on his face. He was tortured. They ripped his beard out of his face. They made fun of him. The person who created them, the God who created them, they took a crown of thorns and stuffed it into his skull. And then he had to say, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he was talking about you and me. And he forgave us. And even more than that, he didn't just forgive you. He didn't just say, "Your sins are cleared, you're cleansed. I'll see you in heaven if you believe. Believe that I rose from the dead and it's all done. I'll see you in heaven." He didn't just do that, friends. He didn't just do that. He came and he lived in you. If you believe in him, he comes to live in you. You become his home. He makes his home in you. That's what it says in the scriptures, John chapter 14, that he comes and makes his living place, his dwelling place in your heart. And do you know what he wants? He just wants for you to worship him. He wants for you to beg of his presence to manifest so he can start to produce the kind of fruit in your life that makes life worth living, regardless of what you have. It's got to be about devotion to Jesus Christ. That's how you start to live. Your situations don't matter, good or bad. That's not what life is about. We get so preoccupied with trying to fix a problem or trying to gain something or accomplish something or worrying about how imperfect we are or how things could be so much better. But that's not what life is about. It's not. And I keep saying it over and over again because it's true. If you can have Jesus Christ in your life and let him manifest himself, the circumstances, whether good or bad, you'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. You'll be able to say what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 11. "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." Guess what? He says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." How many preachings and teachers do you hear out there talking about prosperity and God wants you to be happy? God wants you to have this and have that. That's not, God wants you to be rich in Jesus Christ. That will bless you right now. Me telling you that you need to have the car or the home, or you need to have some other material thing to demonstrate God's love, that's not blessing you right now. If I told you that Jesus Christ wants your worship right now and he'll fill you up with his presence right now, that will bless you. The Messiah, the Son of God, he lives. Will you enter in today to that? Will you know that fact personally? For Easter, you hear people saying, "He is risen. He lives." But friend, will you know that personally for your life, that he does live? Live in him and be rich towards God, so that when you go to heaven, he'll say, "Good job. Good job, my faithful servant." Friends, it doesn't tire me to tell you that it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about him. We get the short end of the stick when we think it's about something else. See, that's what Satan did. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. He made them feel like they were missing out on something. They had everything. They had God. They had community with God. They could call upon his presence and dwell in that anytime. They had everything. But Satan made them feel like they had nothing. He made them feel like they were lacking. But the Lord, with the Lord you don't lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. That's what it says. That's what it says. Please let him be your shepherd today, right now. Give him glory. Give him praise right now. It will bless you. It really will. It really will. Lord Jesus, I just pray that whoever's listening would just be rich toward you, that they would understand what it means to really live. And to really live, Lord, is not to live at all, but to worship you and live in you. Philippians 1 says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Jesus, I pray that they would come to know what life is really about, that it's really about simplicity and purity of devotion to you, Jesus, Messiah, my Lord, my God. You saved me, Lord, and you still save me every single day. And I pray that whoever's listening would experience that salvation every day, all day long. You showing up. Every day they have a testimony of what you did. So Jesus, please, let your presence just explode in the heart of anyone listening. And we lift you up. In your name, Jesus, in your name, you fill up all of our praise. You fill up all of our devotion. Amen.